What is up? I am Mark Savant, and this is the After Hours Entrepreneur, where we break down the tips, tools, and tactics of some of the greatest business minds of our time. If you're ready to burn the midnight oil and to create a life and business that thrive in a rapidly changing world, well, you're in the right place. Let's get into it. What is up, After Hours side hustlers? What is happening, After Hours entrepreneurs? You're in for a treat today. We are going to be talking all about digital marketing with Caitlin Studdy. Caitlin Studdy is the owner of South Street Marketing, a digital marketing agency here in Central Florida. And listen, this conversation is bananas because we're not just talking about digital media, but we're also talking about the experience that she had in creating her business. And this is something I think is really interesting when it comes to service-based businesses, is creating scalable processes, onboarding, and learning when to outsource. And this is just going to be a really fascinating conversation. I would definitely recommend that you have a pen and paper ready because you're just going to get a lot of really, really relevant information on how to scale your business, on how to market. We're going to be talking about blogging, SEO. We're talking about a lot of really important tactics that you need to be thinking about here in 2020, 2021, and beyond. So you're going to really enjoy this episode. And I also want to formally invite you to head over to the After Hours Entrepreneur Facebook group. It's a fantastic community. It's a great place for you to build your project and to get constructive criticism. So I'm going to put a link below so you can join the After Hours community and the After Hours tribe. Listen, this is a great episode. You're really going to enjoy it. So let's get into this masterclass on digital marketing with Caitlin Studdy. Caitlin Studdy, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Caitlin, it is absolutely my pleasure. So you've got this successful marketing agency. It's been running for several years, but I want to ask you this. If you were to start from scratch today, brand new, what would you do to get off the floor? Give me three first steps that you would take.
Okay, step number one is whomever I worked with, I would always ask them for a review because it's easier to ask them for a review right then and there rather than going back and trying to find their email and then having them remember that you worked with them a year ago. Number two would be start collecting emails now, because even if you're not ready to send out an email marketing list or an email marketing blast to those people on your list, it doesn't matter. It's so horrible when you have to go back and fight through spreadsheets and all of these piles of emails to start collecting them. So do that immediately now. And then my last thing that I would do is seek out mentors and coaches immediately. I cannot tell you how many mentors and coaches have helped me immensely avoid speed bumps, avoid things that they happened to go through however many years ago that they can give me advice on.
Yeah, nothing can really level up your game like someone that's done it, lived it, and knows the potholes that you can avoid. I want to talk about that first one, Caitlin, because this is something that is incredibly important. Reviews and testimonials. There's nothing more valuable to a business than social proof, okay? Yes. So how are you using those testimonials and reviews? Where are you putting them? How are you keeping them front of mind with potential customers and clients?
Okay, that's a great question. So number one, I think instead of having a full-blown testimonial page on your website, put it on each individual page. So as an example, if you're a plumber and someone's looking for a repipe for their house, put it on that repipe page under the information so that they can see, hey, Susie from X area really liked how they did this. They were on time, they were clean, they cleaned up after themselves, and they got it done on time. So in order to get those reviews too, I always say go to Google first because people Google everything. So take those reviews from Google, repurpose them on your website, and then also don't forget about posting them on social media. So for us, we repurpose those on social media too, and I call it a sweet win on my LinkedIn page. So I'll say, oh my gosh, we just got a sweet win for us. We hit 85 five-star reviews on Google. And people are really impressed by that. They're really impressed by how many reviews you have. But not only that, the people that don't know you are really impressed too. And that makes their buying decision that much easier because they can see everyone else who's worked with you, who's loved working with you, and their experience too before even reaching out.
Yeah, I love that tip. Don't just put all of your testimonials in one place. Spread them out everywhere because that social proof is just, it's so powerful. I think psychologically as humans, we're drawn to what other humans are doing. So if you can show that positive feedback, it's absolutely crucial. I know that both with my insurance agency and with this podcast, sharing reviews everywhere has been really powerful. It creates that curiosity. People just, they want to learn. They want to know more. I'm curious also, just to kind of go a little bit deeper on these testimonials and reviews. Have you worked at all at getting video reviews from clients saying, hey, can you take a 15-second video about your experience? Is that something you've thought about?
I have thought about it, but honestly, it's so hard just to get people to type out a review. I'm like, okay, I'm not sure if I'm ready to level up to that. But anyone who has done that, we have some clients that have it on their website and it's amazing. And now, I mean, your video is on your phone, it's in your back pocket, so it's not as hard. But so many people are a little adverse to being on camera that I see that that's an additional obstacle that they have to get through in writing the review. So I just want to try to make it as easy as possible. But sometimes if I do go to a client, that gives me the opportunity in person to say, hey, would you mind if I recorded you real quick? And you have to give them a little pep talk and say, don't worry, I'll make you look great. Everything will come out fine. But I think if you can get those, that's like the next level in your review marketing strategy.
Yeah, 100%. I've actually started executing on this a little bit more. I've been working with Pat Flynn on this. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I found to be somewhat effective in increasing your percentage, your close rate, if you would, on those video testimonials, is sending them a video personally. If you send them a quick video DM, guys, girls, that's a great way to just kind of set the stage. And it's increased my close ratio on those video reviews. Okay, cool. So I want to talk a little bit more practically about what people can do to drive eyeballs. We're in the middle of COVID. Everyone is trying to scramble to figure out how to show up online. And that's what South Street Marketing does so well. So Caitlin, when you're working with a new client, what are the top three things you tell them? We got to get you here, here, and there. What are you telling people?
Yeah. So number one is search engine optimization. We specialize in helping service-based companies reach a local clientele. So I'm going back to that plumbing example. If you're a plumber or, you know, anyone else in the local area and you're trying to get those people to your page, starting to write blogs and content based around keywords and phrases that people are typing in on Google is going to be key. And people ask me, they're like, well, are blogs still relevant? The answer is yes, but there's two pieces to that blogging pie. The first piece is to write for the consumer and to educate them so that you position yourself as the industry leader that you are. And the second piece is to do research to figure out what those people are typing in. So if you're just writing blogs, that's amazing. And if that's your goal and you want to educate people, check that off of your list. But if you want to come up for search engine optimization, then you have to research and see what people are typing in, because if you think they're typing in replumb Orlando and they're really typing in repipe my house, you're on two different planets when it comes to that. And you're not coming up for what people are searching for. So that's tip.
So I want to dig into that a little bit, because this is absolute gold. How are you going about and helping clients to find what they should be putting in their blogs? Are you using a keyword research tool? Are you going to Amazon? How can we find those keywords and questions?
Yeah. Okay. So some programs that I absolutely love. Number one, Google AdWords. You can use their keywords tool. Even if you don't have a Google AdWords account that you're running right now, you can still use that for free. Number two is the Keywords Everywhere plugin. It's free for Chrome. They do have a paid option. But the other thing that I really love that I feel like it's overlooked so much is if you type something on Google and then you go to the bottom, Google shows you relevant options. And it's like, bing, bing, hello, light bulb moment. Why haven't I been using this all of my life? So that's another free, easy way to find relevant options of what you just typed in.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, just let the programs do the heavy lifting for you, because those suggestions are what people just like you and your customers are typing into Google. Listen, Caitlin's study here has given you all the tips, tools, and tactics. So you definitely want to check her out at southstreetmarketing.com. Okay, cool. So you're working with a new client. Number one thing you're doing is get shown on Google, get seen on Google. What are you doing with them? Number two, what are we doing? Number two.
So number two, actually, I always go through this process when it comes to new clients. Number one is your logo. Number two is your website. And number three is monthly marketing. And that's where SEO comes in. So making sure that you have a consistent brand across the board. I mean, I'm going to use Starbucks. Everyone knows Starbucks. When you see that green straw, you don't even have to see the name associated. You're like, Starbucks, done. I know that green. That's who it is. So making sure that your brand is consistent. But your website, if your website is slow, if it's hard to get in contact with you, if they can't find your phone number or how to reach out even via email, or if there's no form on your site, you're not going to convert people. So before you even move into the monthly marketing, you need to make sure that your website is set up for success. So a couple of things that I found are, number one, mobile first. So you need to make sure that your mobile site is working and that it's fully functional, meaning there's no overlapping text. I was on a website the other day and I was trying to click to sign up for a downloadable that I was interested in, and the title actually overlapped the button. So I wasn't able to fill out the form. And I almost thought about emailing them and just saying, I was really interested in this, but I couldn't click the button and I filled everything out. So needless to say, I didn't convert. And that is one of the things that is key, making sure that you test your website every once in a while too. Also, adding forms on your internal services pages on the right-hand sidebar is really key, because at the end of the day, everyone is so busy and people have the attention span of less than a goldfish. Fun fact, less than a goldfish. So if you make it super hard for them to convert, then they're on to the next person, which could be your competitor.
Yeah. You absolutely have to be reviewing your site personally. And and I think another good idea is to reach out to people that you know and trust and say, hey, can you dig up any dirt? What do you not like? And finding constructive criticism is really hard. And I think that's probably a big advantage to having a marketing agency like South Street Marketing, because, hey, you've got separate sets of eyeballs. You have a nice staff over there who can just kind of look at everything, make sure that everything is in harmony. So the first thing you mentioned there, Caitlin, was logo. Like, what are your thoughts on logo? Because I agree that logo and that branding, having there be harmony is really important. What's something common that you look for in a great logo? What's something you really like to see?
I really like to see something different that represents the brand. So if you have, sometimes it's hard if there's, let's just say like a wave logo, but you're an insurance company, people might not really attribute the two together. But if you explain it with the words of the company, like, you know, the Wave Insurance Company or Ocean Insurance Company, whatever, that really helps. I also think that going along, the logo basically sets the stage for everything else that you do in marketing. So if your logo is green and blue, don't get red pens, purple shirts. You know, everything needs to be consistent across the board. And when we design websites for people, we use the colors of the logo as the inspiration to build that website design. So everything I feel should be consistent. Whatever logo you decide, I feel like you should love it and want to keep it forever. And it shouldn't be necessarily trendy. It should be like Tiffany & Co. It should be everlasting and evergreen so that people can see it and recognize it over and over.
Yeah, that's really smart. And a very common mistake I think you see with beginner logos is a wave for insurance agency. There's a disconnect. You got to find ways to connect the dots psychologically in the back of people's brains. So one of the things that I think is interesting, Caitlin, is, again, you own a digital marketing agency, right? You're marketing, the keyword marketing, meaning advertisements and sales and whatnot. We haven't even talked about ad spend yet. We talked about infrastructure. We're already 12 minutes into this interview, right? Which I think is pretty fascinating, okay? So the key here, get all your infrastructure in place. Make sure that when you start getting the traffic, you look legit. You've got the logo. You've got the forms. The website looks tight. Okay. So let's assume that we've gotten through that part. And again, we just kind of touched on the tip of that iceberg. Where are you finding traction? Because at the end of the day, your primary goal is to get people on the phone, get leads for the client. So what are some ways that you've been executing on that here during the middle of 2020?
So making sure that you come up for relevant keywords, like I mentioned before, is really key. Those reviews online are really key. But also one thing that I see a lot with social media is all businesses think that they need to be on all different accounts. And it's gotten better over the years as Facebook and Instagram and everyone's kind of evolved to have their audience. But I think that businesses, like, I'll go back to that plumbing example, because I guess plumbing's at the top of my mind today. The plumbing example, I don't necessarily think a plumbing company needs to be on Twitter. And I see this so often. And even when we're taking over a website or doing their SEO, we're testing for links that aren't working. And sometimes those pop up with social media. Like, Twitter is a big one that not a lot of companies use, but a lot of companies have. And it just depends on your industry. So I was looking at, I bought these hair ties the other day and I love them. They're my favorite hair ties. And I was looking at their social media sites and they don't have a Facebook page. They don't have a Facebook page. They only have Instagram, but you need to have a Facebook page in order to have Instagram, but they don't advertise their Facebook page. They only advertise their Instagram. And I was thinking, you know, that is so smart because they know their audience and they know where their audience is. And you don't necessarily have to be on everything. You just have to be on the right platforms.
Yeah, I think that's important. The flip side of that, the other side is there's a little bit of danger in doing that. So let's say, for example, you're all in on TikTok right now, but then the government comes in and just says, we're banning it, which I don't necessarily think is going to happen. But we've seen this time and time again that social media platforms in particular, it's rented land. So do you think that there's any danger in going all in on one platform? While, because taking the Instagram, Facebook example, it's pretty easy to integrate them together so that everything you put on Instagram automatically goes over to your Facebook page, right? I mean, do you think there's any danger with failing to incorporate other platforms?
You know, it really depends, but absolutely. But here's the difference too. If you have an Instagram page, but you're not converting people over to your website, then that's where the danger comes in. Because if Instagram shuts down your page for whatever reason, you've lost everyone. So I would say if you're on one or two platforms, helping to get those people from those platforms to either a downloadable, a call to action, a free 30-minute call, or just reading blogs on your website and signing up for your newsletter, that's a really great way to hopefully take that audience from Instagram over to your website, because you're right, it is technically rented. I mean, you have the rights to that name that you've created, but you don't have the rights to that audience or I think images too when it comes to Instagram.
So that's actually incredibly smart. And that brings us back to one of my first questions. What would you do to just start off? It's fill your email list now, because that you own, that you can convert. You know, I think that's really important. And I think for a lot of people that are listening, they're building side hustles and side businesses. One of the things that might happen is you're going in one direction. You decide, you know what, this isn't really the direction I want to go. And when you pivot to a new product or service, you've already got an email list built up that you own that can help to fire off your new project. So that is super, super smart. Hey, Mark here. Thanks for listening. I hope you're learning as much as I am. This is just a ton of great knowledge, and I don't want you to miss out on more. So make sure that you subscribe to the podcast, because you do not want to miss tips, tools, and tactics from experts like Caitlin. All right, let's get into the rest of this episode. So we've talked a lot about different social media platforms, search engine optimization. I'm curious about your opinion, Caitlin, on the second largest search engine on the internet, and that is YouTube. Do you think that YouTube should be a part of every business, some businesses? How do you see that playing a part in your digital marketing strategy?
So I'll tell you, with service-based companies, it's a little bit harder. Instagram is definitely a challenge for service-based companies because they don't have that product or that really great imagery that necessarily comes along with it. But we just onboarded a new client and they do cleaning, and it's tile cleaning and carpet cleaning. So not your housekeeping, but more so in depth and occasional cleaning. And he created a YouTube channel and it is just doing so well. And what he does is he was just great. He was like, you know, I want to find the dirtiest, nastiest house so that I can show people before and after. And I just thought that was so smart. But it's things like that and people who think outside of the box that I think people are attracted to. Because on Reddit, I follow this thread and it's like oddly satisfying. And you see the pressure washers where they're like holding it to the left and then holding it to the right. And you're just like, oh, why do I love this? But it's kind of the same idea. So finding something that entices people, but also doing it differently.
Yeah, those before and after videos, like those thumbnails convert super well too. You say before, after, super simple, but super effective to your point. The other reason that I'm a huge proponent personally of YouTube is it's a way to answer frequently asked questions in a more personable way, right? Mm-hmm. If you know you're getting the same questions over and over and over, you say, hey, here's a YouTube video. You can check it out here. You can even embed it on your website, right?
Yeah.
I've seen you actually execute on that as well. You're kind of, you're mm-hmm. about me, which is a really powerful way to connect. I'm curious, and do you feel, or do you think that having those videos improves your search engine and your accessibility on Google as well? Or is it mainly the blogging? What are your thoughts on video to improve visibility on Google search?
Well, I think that video brings another element to it. So I wanted to do a video and put it on our website, especially on the Contact Us page, because I wanted people to know why I created the company and that they're not just going to be another company with us. They're going to be a partner. And so I wanted to put that on there. So for me, my strategy wasn't necessarily to come up in search because of the video, but it was mostly to have people understand that I'm a real person. I created this out of passion and I want to help them. So with that, I think that that helps people connect with you on a more personal level because they can see you and understand you and meet you kind of. But then we also have a toolbox page on our website where we do take a deep dive into those frequently asked questions that you just mentioned. And we dive into, hey, how do you do this? How do you do that? And it's kind of also all for resources. But I wanted to take the opportunity to try to come up for some of those frequently asked questions that people type in on Google. And not only that, to help educate my clients as well, or potential clients that are looking into us, because once again, it's kind of that trust verifier. Okay, they're teaching me how to do all of these things, so they know what they're talking about. So let me go and hire them.
Yeah, absolutely love that. This is a thing that Gary Vee is big into. It's giving all of your best advice up front because people get hungry for more. Mm-hmm. And definitely Caitlin is dropping knowledge bombs on us here. You can find out all that she's doing at southstreetmarketing.com, where she is crushing it. And don't just listen, watch, see what she's executing on. I think that's a really important thing to do. Okay, cool. So again, leaning a little bit farther into this video thing, right? I think a lot of people are scared of video because A, they've never done it before. B, they don't think they can see. It's difficult. It's tricky. And there's some legitimacy to that. In your opinion, does bad video hurt your brand? So if you add a video, you add a YouTube channel, the production value isn't high. Can that actually hurt your brand when people come to your site or to your channel?
Okay, so I think it depends. Number one, I love live videos because I feel like it does give that Q&A kind of like personalized touch. So I love live videos on Facebook and Instagram, and LinkedIn is slowly rolling them out too, because I think that's a really great way to connect with your audience and be real. On those live videos, I have messed up so many times, I can't even tell you, but I think it kind of brings the human element into it because I'm human, I make mistakes. I remember one time I was recording a video and I just like scratched my nose in the middle. I'm like, what the heck am I doing? So I had to redo the whole thing. But I think that there's a time and a place for really great production type videos. But also I don't think that there's anything wrong with getting personal and saying, you know, I'm in my home office. I just went for a run or whatever the case may be, because this is real life. And I think people can relate to that. So I think there's a time and a place for each of them. But I love showing the kind of behind the scenes and kind of getting real with people too.
So that's, I think, super, super powerful advice. Being real, being vulnerable, giving people the backstage pass. I think that's a really good way to go. Like your primary anchor video on your website, maybe you want to invest some cash in that to have that professionally done.
Definitely.
You know, but definitely supplementing with content. Because I think the thing that's naturally going to happen is the more times you do it, the better it's going to get. You got to start somewhere, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. I would be remiss, Caitlin, if we went into the rapid fire before talking a little bit more about efficiency, because I am a efficiency fanatic. Time is money. Time is so valuable. So for you, what is the top takeaway for agency owners? How can we be more efficient with our time?
Okay, top takeaway is absolutely Zapier, the program, hands down. If anyone listening doesn't know about this program, you can try it out and you'll absolutely fall in love with it. The way I describe it is it's a connector app. So as an example, if you're using FreshBooks for your invoicing, which I do, and then also MailChimp, which we also use, it will, if you onboard a new client and put them in FreshBooks, it will automatically add them to MailChimp if you set up that connection. So I kid you not. And I wish that I would be like a spokesperson for them, because I would tell everyone about Zapier. But I think that it saves me around 15 hours a week. And I'm not even kidding you. So I'll put a trigger is what it's called. So I'll put client meeting, and that word client in my calendar is a trigger to remind me to create the meeting agenda, to send a follow-up after the meeting, to make sure that it's good one day before, and then I'm good to go. So every time I have a full onboarding process for a new client, and about 40 things are automatically done for me. So they'll add it to my project management software. They'll add it to our time tracking software. They'll add a new folder in my drive. They'll create templates for the kickoff meeting. And I was able to eliminate and help decrease the time that I was putting into, and an admin was helping me with these certain items, because I streamlined it so much. And I'm just so passionate about that, because it has helped me so much, and it's enabled me to grow and scale more efficiently without necessarily having to build out my team, but building out my team strategically instead of, okay, you do this, you do this, you do this. It eliminates all the little things for me.
Yeah. And I think we all know that scaling is very, very challenging, because you're, at least historically, you're bringing on human beings, and probably not only one of the most expensive assets or liabilities for your company, but also the time you've got to train them. You got to keep on, and maybe they don't work out. So you got to bring on another one. So I really like Zapier as well. I use it. One of the ways that I use it is for my podcast onboarding, right? So when you go in and you schedule, it takes all that data, all that information, sends it over to a central hub where I can easily manage when, where, why, just really collect all that. And it can share that with my virtual assistant, who also helps with the whole booking process. What's another way we can use Zapier? What's another quick takeaway that we can use Zapier? What's a process that you really like to eliminate with the use of Zapier? Give me another hot take.
Yeah. So if anyone's hiring, I've completely streamlined my whole hiring process. So here's an example. On our website, we created a custom form based on the dropdown of the jobs that we have open. If they select a certain dropdown, then an email gets automatically sent to them with a questionnaire. And it's like, hey, this is an X position. This is a remote position. This is blah, blah, blah. Please answer back and let me know. Well, I'll tell you that if I have 50 people apply to a job, probably 13 people will take the time to either do the assignment or respond back to me. And I put a deadline on it too, but it's a deadline that says tomorrow at 5. So no matter when they apply, tomorrow at 5 is still accurate. So I can eliminate about half of those resumes that came in because they didn't do the assignment. Either they didn't do the assignment, didn't follow the directions, or they didn't submit it on time. And I really need to trust the people that I'm hiring on my team. So that helps me kind of whittle down the applicants that I get and focus on the ones that are really interested.
That's super smart, because onboarding and hiring takes hours and hours and hours. Any business owner out there knows that when you put something up on ZipRecruiter, hundreds of applicants. It's absolutely ridiculous. So having that way to screen it and automate that process is absolutely magnificent. And I would give you another special takeaway, special touch, is maybe add a little bit of video in there, maybe video of you saying, hey, this is who I am. This is what I do. I'm video obsessed, if you haven't already realized.
I love it.
Yeah. To me, I think it's a really effective way of standing out, because a lot of people aren't implementing video. Like, they'll do a little bit of video, but they're not going all in. And it's a way that you can really stand out with your customers, your clients, your network. So
yeah,
that's where I'm at. Listen, we've been here speaking to Caitlin Studdy from SouthStreetMarketing.com. Not only is she going to help manage all of your digital needs, but she's going to help coach you. All the stuff that she's given you right here, she's going to go in depth personally with you to help you really explode your reach online. So Caitlin, thank you so much. Cool. All right. Are you ready? I'm going to go into a quick rapid fire here with you, Caitlin. You ready?
Okay, ready.
You got your seatbelt on? Cool. So what is a must-have business item for less than $50 that everybody should have?
I was thinking about this one and it's so hard. So this might not apply to everyone, but I love really like creative things around me. So really fun sticky notes, pens. I mean, these like notepads that I have are like colorful. I have colors everywhere and also plants around me. You can't see it now, but I have like a whole plant shelf over here and this giant one over here. So I think making sure that you're surrounded by things that inspire you are really essential. And that's kind of what I do in order to keep myself going and motivated.
I like that. I like that a lot. It could be anything, but keeping yourself inspired, that is great. Cool. You wake up in the morning, Caitlin, and there's only one task you can do for the day. What are you going to do?
I think the one, is this work related or anything related?
Let's keep it work related. What are you going to do work related?
What I would do work related is, I guess I would say right now responding back to people, if that's considered one task. Because a lot of times clients reach out with questions or people want to schedule meetings. So responding back to them, that would be, I guess, the one thing that I would do.
Love that. Love that. And I, again, going back to the video, responding back to questions in clients is super important. You can't scale yourself, but what you can do is you can post a video, Q&A, and maybe an assistant says, hey, this is an FAQ. I'll shoot him to a quick video of Caitlin. Quick hot take.
That's a great idea too.
Okay, cool. Caitlin, if you had 10 seconds with yourself 10 years ago, what would you tell yourself?
Get a coach, get a mentor, believe in yourself. You can do it.
I'm inspired. I like that. Caitlin, final question here before you let you go. If you had a billboard message that could reach millions of people, what would you put on your billboard?
All of these questions are so insightful. I was like, oh man, I don't know if I can pick one thing. I guess I would say, is this geared towards inspiring people or leading people to the business?
It's any message you want, whatever's on top of mind for Caitlin.
I would say, stay smart, outsource your marketing, call someone who's been there, done that, and then have our email or our website.
Love it. Love it. Spoken like a brander and marketer. Love that. Caitlin Studdy, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having me. This was great.
Just like Caitlin said, this is great. This was great. And thank you for listening. Man, I walked away with a lot of great stuff. And I think we had some interesting banter. If you would like to share your thoughts on the episode, go ahead and share this on social media. What do you think? Where should we be at? Where should you be focusing your marketing and your branding? I'd love to hear from you. So make sure that you post it and tag Mark Savant Media in any post and let your friends and family know. You, of course, can check out Caitlin's Studdy and you can outsource your marketing at southstreetmarketing.com. And Caitlin is just going to take your business to the next level. You heard it from her. She knows her stuff. She's going to help you get out there and get known. It is just such a pleasure sharing these stories with people like you. Thanks for listening. Thank you for subscribing. And I will catch you here next time on The After Hours Entrepreneur. This is Mark Savant signing off. Peace.